mother, of course, was Clarice Taggart, the wonderful actress who died tragically in a fire. What is it like starring in a remake?
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film Maps to the Stars.
David Cronenberg has been my favorite director for years, and his latest is Maps to the Stars. This Canadian genius has given us gems like Dead Ringers and A History of Violence, and also the Oscar-winning remake of The Fly in 1986. Maps to the Stars is headlined by recent Academy Award winner Julianne Moore, and for my money, it's an even stronger performance than the one she gave in Still Alice. Fearless, audacious, and marvelously entertaining, Miss Moore garnered a Golden Globe nomination for this in December, as Maps had a one-week qualifying run in L.A. But enter only if you dare. Mr. Cronenberg is the renowned master of body horror, and that means a high level of violence and disturbing images. And while Cronenberg's first U.S. shot film brilliantly satires the emptiness of Hollywood, there is some unevenness too, including the miscasting of John Cusack in a major role. But Evan Bird as a substance-abusing child star is terrific, and Carrie Fisher plays herself in a delicious cameo. Overall, I don't place Maps to the Stars at the highest level amongst Cronenberg's resume, but it's still pretty darn good. So after a string of A's from David C., let's grade this one a B+. Ed, back over to you.
Thanks, Mark. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to check out Mark's incredible website, reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And as always, Mark will be back next week. Are you trying to save money? Trying to economize? Maybe you're trying to save for something special. I don't know, maybe a summer vacation somewhere, maybe the kids need braces, whatever. Americans may be addicted to shopping, but that doesn't mean that we don't sometimes cut back. In the past 5 years, consumers learned a hard lesson on getting by on less. This according to Pam Goodfellow, an analyst with Prosper Insights and Analytics. While the recession of 28 may be over, many American consumers are still keeping a close eye on their wallets. Consumer spending fell to $51,100 in 2013, the latest year for which data is available. This according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, down from $51,442, a small decrease of about 0.7%. But that was accompanied by a 2.8% decline in income, from an average of about $65,500 to $63,700 between 2012 and 2013. So as people start to earn a little less, of course, they're going to spend a little less as well. The fall in spending happened at almost all income levels, with only people in the bottom 20% of income increasing their spending, and even then only slightly by 1.1%. The drop in consumer expenditures didn't happen evenly across the board, however. People spent more in certain categories measured by the BLS, like healthcare, rent, and utilities, while spending on food held steady from 2012 to 2013. Because no matter what happens with your income, you still have to eat. Because your stomach is growling, it doesn't know if there's a recession or if we're in a boom time. Vices such as alcohol and tobacco didn't make dramatic cutbacks. Well, that's pretty obvious because people are addicted to both. Spending on alcohol shrunk by just 1.3%. Spending on tobacco products saw an even smaller decline of just $2 a year. But here are six areas that had some of the largest percentage decreases in consumer spending. The first one, life insurance. Consumers saved money on premiums for life insurance, accident, disability, and other types of personal insurance in 2013, with money spent in this area falling 9.6%. For people looking to save money in this category, taking a second look at life insurance premiums may be a good idea. If you're single and have no kids, for example, you can probably skip life insurance entirely. This according to Life Happens, a nonprofit educational organization founded by several large insurance companies, while other people may have more coverage than they really need. The next one is clothing. These are areas where Americans are spending less money on. Clothing. In 2013, consumer spending on apparel and related services like dry cleaning and alterations dropped 7.6%. Some of the steepest drops in spending in this category came at higher income levels. People in the fourth and fifth highest income level spent 12% and 8.8% less on apparel in 2013 compared to 2012. That makes no sense at all, right? Because you would think those with money to burn are going to go out and buy the latest designs and the fanciest things they saw when they were over in France because they want to be on the cutting edge. Here's another thing, too. You ever see when they have those big fashion shows? Do you ever really see those fashions on the street? No. You see these models, they weigh like, you know, 98 pounds soaking wet, and they wear these like fancy schmancy dresses with these weird colors and shapes. Do you see that on Main Street in your town? No. Does anybody really buy these things? No, but they still have them anyway. Spending on clothing may have dipped slightly in 2013, but that doesn't mean that people aren't wearing the latest fashions. Oh, really? Americans buy billions of articles of clothing every year, 64 new closet cluttering pieces of clothing per person. Do you buy 64 pieces of clothes a year? What are they, counting socks? My wife bothers me and says I have too many shirts. I'm sorry. I work in a situation I want to look different every day. She works in a doctor's office, so she wears scrubs, so she doesn't have to have the wardrobe that I have. But even so, I'm not buying 64 pieces of clothes every year. And it says here that people buy 7 pairs of new shoes a year. Do you buy 7 pairs of new shoes? Maybe for your kids because their feet are growing, or they have to have the fanciest athletic shoes, or they get ostracized when they go back to school. But you as an adult, do you do that? No, I don't. That was according to the American Apparel and Footwear Association. Oh, of course it is, because they want you to go out and buy more shirts, more underwear, and more shoes. The next one, people are cutting back on education. Despite lots of noise about the rising costs of college, spending on education actually dropped in 2013. Overall, consumers spent 5.7% less on tuition, textbooks, supplies, and other education expenses in 2013. Not surprisingly, education spending tended to be higher among married couples with children, who spent an average of $2,200 a year in this category. Education spending was also higher in households where at least one person was a college graduate. The next one is gas. Spending on gas, diesel fuel, and motor oil dropped 5.3% from 2012 to 2013, from $2,750 to $2,611. That's the first decrease since 2009. That means that the average person was spending $217 per month on gas alone. While 2014 consumer spending numbers haven't been released yet, consumer spending on gas could fall even further, given the significant decrease in gas prices over the past year. Well, that's just obvious. The average price of a regular gallon of gas was about $2.45 per gallon earlier this month, according to AAA, compared to $3.48 per gallon 1 year earlier. I live in a part of New Jersey where gas about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, at one station dropped to $1.69 for regular. That gas station is on a major highway known as Route 1. And the police actually had to go into the gas station and ask the man to raise his price because the line was so long it was blocking traffic on the 6-lane, 3-each-way, massive U.S. highway known as Route 1. When gas was pushing almost $4 a gallon only a couple of years ago, did you really think you'd ever see $1.65 gas again? I never did. But gas now in my neck of the woods is back up to about $2.25. The next one, entertainment. Consumer spending on entertainment dropped 4.7% from 2012 to 2013, from $2,600 to $2,400. Most Americans spent more than $2,000 a year on entertainment, while only those under age 25 or over age 75 spending less than that amount. Yes, if you're 80, you're not tripping the light fantastic now, are you not? No, you're not going out and buying those video games for the old Xbox, are you not? No. And I think that's what they mean by this. Let's see. What kind of expenses fall into this category? Money spent on movies, sporting events, cable TV. All right. Well, if you're going to factor in the cable TV bill and video games, exercise and sporting equipment, and even pets and related expenses, why is your pet's vet bill being counted as entertainment? Hey, Fido has ringworm. Hey, this is a good time for us all. That's why these numbers, you always look at these numbers with one eyebrow raised, because you never know what they're factoring in to get the desired result. The next one, cash contributions. Americans were slightly less generous in 2013 as cash contributions fell 4.1%. Low-income people cut back the most. The average annual cash contributions for people in the lowest income quintile falling by about $121 or 17.3%. In addition to donations to charitable organizations, cash contributions also includes any other money given to people people who aren't living with a person, including alimony and child support, or even spending money deposited in a college student's bank account. So there you go. Items Americans are spending less on. Are you cutting back? Maybe you're not going to go on a fancy vacation this year. Maybe you did last year. A lot of families, they'll do an extravagant vacation. Then they'll do a smaller one. We're doing that. Last year, we went to Disney World. This year, we left it up to my 12-year-old son. He wants to go to Washington, D.C. for our big vacation in the summer. He wants to see the museums. He wants to see the White House, blah, blah, blah. So for us, it's maybe a 3.5-4 hour ride through traffic from where we live. And we're going to stay at a hotel, nice hotel. I think it's $150 a night. The attractions in Washington, for the most part, are free. And for me, I get off cheap this year, and that's a good thing. Stay with us. Coming up next, the best and worst fast food meals for your kids. I'm Ed Kalenge, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
How can you get more done? Forget about time management.
Author John Jantz says focus on managing your energy instead.
He's not just talking about physical energy. Many jobs today also demand a lot of mental and emotional energy. So here are three tips to manage your energy.
First, interrupt your work. Set an alarm for 45 minutes. Work intensely until it goes off, then get up and move for a few minutes.
Second, windows of time. Work in two distinct windows each day, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, with a real break in between.
Third, the end. Develop an end-of-day routine to help you get to sleep quickly.
Manage your energy for your big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Think green.
Harrison with you. Another global warming reality check. Falsehood number 3. Global warming will help sea life. Fact. The ocean is becoming highly acidic because of contact with airborne CO2 from human activity. Many forms of ocean life use calcium carbonate to form their skeletons or shells, like coral reefs and shellfish. Ocean acidification destroys this kind of sea life. Now, here's an easy home experiment that'll simply show how it works. Take a piece of chalk, put it in a glass of water, then slowly add a simple acid like some plain vinegar. The water will start to bubble, emitting CO2, and the chalk will simply dissolve. In 2005, on the West Coast, hundreds of thousands of seabirds failed to breed. Due to this ocean acidification, fewer phytoplankton, coral reefs, and bottom-feeding shellfish also means fewer fish for both human.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.